Coming up, Boker blends the old with the new, a very special giveaway for everyone coming up, and we talk about Pikal knives. I'm Bob DeMarco. This is the Knife Junkie Podcast.
Welcome to the Knife Junkie Podcast, your weekly dose of knife news and information about knives and knife collecting. Here's your host, Bob the Knife Junkie DeMarco.
Welcome back to the show. One of my favorite comments this past week was from Jim Landers. We were talking on Thursday Night Knives about how do knives fit into your self-defense strategy. And this was probably the best strategy right here. Jim Landers says, the best way to fight is to stay sober and keep one's mouth shut. Yeah, that's probably the best way to go for anything in life, probably. Stay sober and keep your mouth shut. That doesn't mean you're not listening. That doesn't mean you're not forming an opinion or forming a strategy. It just means you're not going off at the mouth. And my dad always said, like, people don't have a right to your thoughts. So keep them to yourself until it's useful to reveal them. And I like that. Next favorite comment was from Booby G. He said, man, I love that you have the Moro blades on the wall. Always been my favorite from a historical standpoint and just extremely effective designs. I couldn't agree with you more, obviously, Booby G. They are beautiful, kind of very exotic looking, and just brutally effective blades. And also, I'm a big variety is the spice of life kind of guy. And if you want variety in blade and handle design, take a look at the Filipino blades, because it's a huge, huge spectrum. All right, well, that being said, let us get to a pocket check.
What's in his pocket? Let's find out. Here's the Knife Junkie with his pocket check of knives.
Today in my front right pocket, in the main position, I had the Microtech SOCOM Elite Auto. This one given to me, not given, this was a trade with Dave the Sold Sword Blade Reviews, and he had exactly what I wanted when I was trying to get this knife, and put up a Manticore, my beloved Manticore, up for trade. But you know what they say, without sacrifice, you can't get to that next level. And this is what I really wanted. So I was grateful at the time that Dave had this very knife. And I love the Microtechs. You know, right now I'm in a huge Microtech phase. I've been carrying the LUDT Gen 2, the last one on the market that I scored. That I could find anyway, purple anodized. I've been carrying that thing nonstop. I've been talking about how I'm not as fond as the Gen 3 design, but no doubt if you like that design, it will be an amazing and very, very stout, useful, sturdy, and reliable knife for many, many, many years. In my bouncing around pocket, not in any sort of slip, I had the Rosecraft Okoe Kayak, and I love this knife. Like a canoe, it's got a sort of symmetrical handle that looks a bit like a canoe, or a kayak in this case. And also like a canoe knife, it's got a blade that is canted sort of downward in the handle. If you open up a case canoe, for instance, you'll see when you open up the blades that they come at a little bit of an angle, which aids in the cutting. And also has an interesting look. Well, that's one of the things I love about this knife the most, is that sort of odd downward angle. You don't see it too much on too many knives. But Andy Armstrong, designer of this knife and designer for a long time with Rough Rider, has experimented a lot with different traditional patterns and push them to interesting places. So I love this sort of bellied worn cliff or sheep's foot, or this is like a bellied sheep's foot on a canoe style frame. Anyway, whatever it is, it's beautiful. I love the red covers on this. I like their bone covers a lot. There's a knife we're going to be talking about in Knife Life News that I'm very much looking forward to getting, but it's sold out. It's their latest one. Lots of people have videos up, but I'm still going to talk about it because it's cool. All right, next up is in my belt, in my waistline at the 3 o'clock position, was the Nova 2. This is designed by me and Matt Chase of Hogtooth Knives and made expertly by hand by Matt Chase. Just an awesome knife. This is a riff on the Nova One Bowie, which was a riff on Matt's EDC Tonto. So just a great line. It's the size, the handle, the ergonomics. And then with this Nova series, we're just switching out blades of my design. And he nailed it with this one. He said, honestly, I wasn't crazy about the Kiridashi shape until I made it and saw how wicked it is and how effective it is, both in a pushing manner and also in a pull cut and, utility cutting manner. It's hollow ground, wickedly sharp. I've been carrying it for about 2 weeks now. And, not this coming week, but, next week we will, next week is this coming week. We'll be announcing the pre-order for this. We got a lot on our plate right now, and I'm zeroing in on all the details, and we have a lot of back end stuff to do. So, and also any sort of changes that we're going to make, which are very scant, if any. Actually, I really honestly have, just the sheath for me is going to change the sheath color and the bottom contour here. I wanted to round out a little bit more, just to be comfortable on the softness, when you put it in the waistband. So, color, it'll be a darker charcoal. We're going to go with this ivory G10 and red. Not only does it evoke sort of a Japanese feel to me, but it also evokes a sort of Nordic feel, as does the blade. It's not a straight up Kiridashi. To me, it's also kind of Sax-like. And the handle to me reminds me of whalebone. So, I'm very excited about this new Nova, and can't wait to release it to the wider world. Okay, last up for emotional support, I had the ringed inversion by the great and powerful Dirk Pinkerton. Look at that beautiful orange peel texture on the titanium. Gorgeous Pakal style blade. You've got the ring here, which is perfect. You know, not all rings are created equal. And this ring is perfect because it is jutting out from the handle. So it does not disrupt your fist in any way. It just seamlessly, that's an old corporate word. I'm going to expunge that from my vocabulary. It perfectly fits the grip without forcing you to alter your fist at all. So a very, very useful and good ring. Not all rings are useful and good. It's a frame lock, and it has this copper sort of wave feature. It also came with a thumb disc, which I haven't put on there yet, but I have the thumb disc on my Kaiser version of the inversion. So my bases are covered. This is what I had on me. What did you have on you today? Please drop it in the comments below. I'd love to find out what you have. To me, it is inspiration. Whether or not I actually seek out that knife, because I'd have them all. I'd have all of the knives and then get rid of the ones I don't want. That would be more practical if I could. So let me know what you got. Coming up, we have a really special giveaway. Thursday Night Knives. We're going to be giving away, and Chaz Fisher of Fisher Blades will be giving away the giveaway. And this is what he's going to be giving away. The package looks like this here. Since the knife itself is wrapped up, I'm not going to wrapped up very classily in a paper thing with a I voted sticker. That's what it looks like to me. But it's this knife, the Beckwith Covert. I've been talking about it. You've seen videos from various people online about this knife. It's really awesome. It's a pocket fixed blade tanto that is really a self-defense weapon. That's the primary, raison d'etre for this is self-defense. Very adamantly, very stubbornly a self-defense knife. And you know that I love that. I super, super love and appreciate that. But I just want to say, to those of you out there who are not into that, not into carrying knives as a weapon, this actually makes an outstanding EDC. I know Chaz bristles at the term and the thought, but this does make an excellent everyday carry, just utility knife. Beautiful red liners, excellent handle and ergonomics. You got that quillion there. on the pommel for drawing. Great place to put your thumb in reverse grip, and then presents the edge in an excellent manner in forward grip there. So this is what we're going to be giving away. Chaz will be joining us, giving away the knife, and then in the package comes some beef jerky. I think he's on the carnivore diet. He's a martial artist, super fit, veiny, sort of forearmed guy who crushes your hand when he shakes it, not on purpose because he's a jerk, but because he's on the carnivore diet. I think that's cool. But there you go, right there. It gives you some beef jerky. That's my snack of choice at work. Beckwith Covert Manual. By the way, this shows you all the places you need to put the covert if you're going to use it in a defensive way, how to carry it, where to stick it. Pretty cool. Pretty old school. You know, Colonel Beckwith was the guy who started Delta Force, and he was no shrinking violet, let's say. The Constitution, and it's AEBL, 60 to 62 Rockwell hardness, and you get a little birth card here, sticker, and a Band-Aid. Hopefully you don't cut yourself, and if you do, you can never get rid of it. It is yours. It owns you. All right, that is what we're going to be giving away on Thursday Night Knives. Very much looking forward to that. I will give an announcement. I have not actually settled on the date with Chaz, but he's going to be on the podcast soon, so I think we're doing it right after that. So I will let you know about that. But I'm very excited to be giving one of these things away. By the way, if I didn't mention pocket sheath, you don't want to wear this in the waistband, but pocket sheath, it's a great carry, whether forward or back. I have the left hand and the right hand sheath. So far, I've only used the right hand sheath, and it goes great all the way around in all four pockets. So very much looking forward to that. Okay, still to come on the Knife Junkie Podcast, knife life news. But before we get there, be sure to subscribe here, hit the notification bell, like it. If you've been this long, you're either seething with anger or you like the show. So hit the like button. And we are just over 30,000 subscribers, which is exciting. We're in the 31,000 area now, or just beyond that. And coming up is our 500th episode of the Knife Junkie Podcast. That does not include Thursday Night Knives. That does not include shorts or any other sort of video, just this show and the interview show. So we're going to celebrate that. Very exciting. All right. Still to come, check out Knife Life News.
Among this week's specials at Knives Ship Free, the Bark River Kalahari Mini Sportsman combines the ergonomics of the Kalahari series with a slender filleting blade. The CPM 154 stainless steel balances performance and easy maintenance, and we have a great selection of handle options in stock. The Spyderco Micro Jimbo just arrived in blackout finish. The blade is 2.45 inches of CPM S30V with a black DLC coating. All handle hardware matches the blackout theme, including the reversible deep pocket wire clip and stainless steel liners. And the RMJ Tactical Ratatosk is a contemporary bolo design from Reed Carmack, RMJ's in-house blacksmith. The 5.5 inch Nitro V stainless blade has a black Cerakote finish, and each comes with bronze and blue anodized hardware sets. Get these deals and other great specials from Knives Ship Free. Just use our affiliate link, theknifejunkie.com/knivesshipfree. Support the show and get a great new knife at the same time. theknifejunkie.com/knivesshipfree.
You're listening to the Knife Junkie Podcast, and now here's the Knife Junkie with the Knife Life News.
The Elementum is to Zavivi what the Burnley Quaken is to Boker. So endless reiteration in different relevant and sometimes not so relevant forms. But that's something that I love hate about both the Boker Burnley Quaken and the Elementum. I mostly just like to riff on how they endlessly riff on those knives. The Zavivi Elementum, I gotta say, I love that knife. I got one for my wife with the ebony handles, and man, it's definitely one of my favorites from Zavivi. They have a new one, and this one's pretty cool. This would be a massive flex if you work in retail and you're opening boxes in the room, in the back room, you know, where all the stuff is, the magical room where all the extra stuff is. It is the Zavivi Elementum Utility. So as the name would belie, It is an Elementum frame with a utility blade fixture. So you flip it open or use the thumb stud to open it. And there is a frame into which you put a utility blade. So pretty cool. A lot of different companies have done this. And but here, I don't know, this might be the first one to tempt me into the genre. I'm not a big fan of the utility knife thing, and that's only because I don't really, it's not relevant in my life. I do have utility blades that I use every once in a while when I'm doing kydex or doing some house chore that I don't want to use a knife for, but usually I'm scrambling to find the right knife in my collection to do those kind of chores with. But for those of you who have a real use for a tool like this and a knife collection and you like to keep that more pristine, this thing is awesome. Aluminum handle, and flipper thumb stud and button lock. That's not what you're not seeing in this picture, but it's a button lock. So it's not only super useful, but it's super fidgety, man. You got the flipper, you got the thumb stud, and you got the button lock. So, you're waiting for the truck as it's backing up to the loading dock while all the other people are just pushing it out and sliding it back in, pushing it out, sliding it back in. You've got this and, anodized blue here, but it will come in a variety of colors. This will be in available in May 2024. Keep your eyes peeled. At first, exciting utility, modification that I've seen, though, Boker has not done a Quaken with a utility blade, fixture. Next up is Rosecraft. Rosecraft, which, I was carrying today. And actually, the release of this next knife is what, inspired me to carry the Oki, kayak today. The Rosecraft Nola Chucky Jack. This thing is cool. I've seen a lot of people, have it. I hesitated and then they sold out. So, I will wait for the next round of this, but look at this beauty. You know, I ordinarily am not a huge fan of a drop point blade, but this one not only has that beautiful long pull and machine ground swedge. Well, it's all machine ground, but, you know what I mean? Has that cut swedge up front, but it also has the overall profile of a scalpel. So it's got I don't know how you would explain it, but, a very subtle peak towards the tip on the spine. And a quick drop down, nice long straight edge, and then belly at the end. It's a beauty. And it's coming in this dark green. To me, it always looks green, but they're calling it antique brown or vintage brown bone. It is beautiful. And then you've got that Rosecraft rosebud shield, which I'm a big fan of. D2 blade steel as usual, a little bit larger than usual. That blade is 3 inches, 3-inch blade there. Which for a slip joint is on the larger side, let's say. That's kind of EDC folder territory. First run sold out, but sign up at the website to find out when they drop more. Okay, next is from Boker. And this is them blending old with the new. This is the Boker Modern Trapper Uno is what they're calling it. The Boker Modern Trapper Uno is the second in this sort of modern rehashing of older patterns, slip joint patterns. They did that with the Barlow. Now they're onto the Trapper. And I think that this is a really nice looking knife. You look at the handle, that is a Trapper handle. Here you have bolsters, you have a canvas micarta. But I like this traditional format, but with the modern trappings. Oh, trappings, if you will. The lock, the flipper tab, the 3.23-inch Nitro V blade. They're calling it a drop point. I mean, I'm looking at that. It looks like a clip point to me. But they should know they made it. Really nice, deep carry pocket clip, but not reversible. 2.4 ounces. So pretty light and coming soon. This to me is a rugged looking gentleman's folder. This is for the gentleman outdoorsman. So maybe this is something in the pocket of a guy who's got one of those big heavy jackets, with the collar up and the suede patches. And he's got a shotgun over his, broken in half over his arm. You know what I mean? Not broken in half, but opened up a double barrel. And this is the blade in his pocket. It's kind of got Country Gentleman written all over it, but modern Country Gentleman who likes modern steel. So I like this knife. I think it looks pretty good. So that's from Boker. And then lastly, from James Brand, they're expanding their EDC lineup with a new driver. It's funny. Ben Schwartz of Knife News basically says some people are excited about their knife as a tool. Some people are excited about their tools that take care of their tools. Other people don't care. But for those of you who do, there's a new driver. And by driver, I mean, screwdriver, basically, a bit driver. This one is for lanyard or keychain carry. And as all James Brand things, it's very designy. I don't know how else to put it, but like has a very, a lot of attention spent to the design of it, how efficiently it carries these bits, how beautifully it does it. And it's a beautiful little device. It is the size of an old Wrigley's five stick chewing gum packet. So it's small and, it comes with what are mostly used out there in the wider world outside the knife community. So it comes with a couple of Phillips and a couple of slotted, screw bits. But of course you can put your bits in there. This is I don't want to say collaboration with, but those are Weha bits. This is to hold Weha bits, and that is a German company that makes the best bits. We all know Weha. That's probably what once you upgrade your toolkit for taking your knives apart, that's where you end up, because you do your research and you look, and everyone says get the Weha bits, and that's because they're German and they are hardened, unlike cheap bits that will just kind of get marred under pressure. They're hardened. They're great bits. So. That's a pretty cool little thing. And I got to say, I like the internal blue area. Makes it easy to see everything. Everything pops with that as the background. We do have an affiliate link, the James Brand. So theknifejunkie.com/James Brand. So you can check that out. New addition to their EDC lineup. To me, this would go well with that little tiny record opening Kiridashi. Remember that record album, vinyl record album. Opening Kiridashi they came up with. I think that was a cool tool. This is a cool tool. And James Brand, though I like to pretend that they're not cool because they're hipster designy people, they really do cool stuff. So check this one out. All right, next up, we're going to take a look at an oldie but a goodie to set us up for the main topic of conversation here. But before we do, be sure to check us out on Patreon. Quickest way to do that is go to theknifejunkie.com/Patreon. When you do, you can examine the three different levels of support we offer and the things you get in return for your generosity. Really, all of those things are mere tokens of our appreciation. So I thank you one and all who go check it out, and definitely thank you those who take advantage over there. All right, coming up, the state of the collection.
The Shockwave Tactical Torch is your ultimate self-defense companion, featuring a powerful LED bulb that lasts 100,000 hours, a super-sharp crenulated bezel, and built-in stun gun delivering 4.5 million volts. Don't settle for ordinary. Choose the Shockwave Tactical Torch. TheKnifeJunkie.com/Shockwave.
And now that we're caught up with Knife Life News, let's hear more of the Knife Junkie podcast.
So in a moment, we're going to be talking all about Pickhall knives and perusing some great examples of them. And the reason we're doing that is because I have two in-house that I have to send overseas to their rightful owner. But they're both beautiful and great representatives of the form. And I have some others I added to this. But before I get to that, I want to talk about this unique knife that is on a long-term loan before I give it away from Dave, this old sword. And it is the Topps Backbite. And one might think it's a Pickhall knife on first, blush. When you hold it, it looks like this. It's a very unique, odd looking knife. It's designed by a gentleman named Colin Despens. And it is not so much a Pakal style knife as it is a knife that is optimized for a certain style of Russian martial art that does what's called, that practices something, I'm going to go to the main camera here, called locomotion striking. So not only are they getting action on the strike out, but they're getting action on the retraction from the strike. And so you add this knife, this backbite knife. A lot of people wonder why the blade is shaped like that and even how you hold it. It's intended to be held like this with that curve forward. That curve gets sharp towards the apex here, and it's intended to be a mechanical pressure additive when you strike with it. So you're hitting with your fist and you're basically punching through your target and nailing them with that hooked portion. And then on the return, you have this Wharncliffe style edge here to get mechanical pressure on the retraction. Mechanical pressure is a very clinical way of saying you're tearing backward as you retract that punch. So a little bit different from the Pakal main usage of the Pakal style knife, but I find it really a fascinating blade to look at, and I haven't used it. I haven't carried it. You could turn it around and use it in such a manner where you're using the Wharncliffe as a sort of splitting percussive cut, which is just nasty. Because look at that oblique. Look at how steep the angle is to the edge, and then it's got a little relief edge on the bottom. So it's going to cut. It's going to tear and gouge. But it's definitely not a slicer. A crazy implement from Topps Knives and Colin Despin's, this backbite. But I'd say not quite a Pakal knife. You could do the Pakal stuff with it, but intimidating, weird implement of chaos, from Topps. So comes in that cool sheath and it has one of these clips. I think they still offer it with that clip, because this is an older school Topps. Okay, so that leads me into Pakal knives, tip down, edge in. We've talked about it a lot on this show, but I've never cataloged the ones that I have. And I figured having these two here from Jock's Knife would be a great opportunity before I send them along to do a catalog like this. Okay, so first I want to talk about the one that inspired it all. The fruit knife, the curved bladed fruit knife, is what inspired the Pakal craze. That and that coming through Ed Calderon of Ed's Manifesto, the quick and dirty of that is his mother carried around a fruit knife, a curved edge fruit knife with her all the time, and once defended the family from some thugs with it, and it left an impression on Ed Calderon, and he went into law enforcement on the border. Drug interdiction on the Mexican side, and found the value in carrying a fruit knife. So this first one here is my version of that knife, and it's a Victorinox fruit knife, easily gotten on Amazon. And what I've done here is, per his recommendation, is heat up the handle, which is just a plastic handle, and bend it. So I used a heat gun, but you can use a toaster oven or something like that and bend the handle. And I recommend you wear gloves and you hold it as it cools. Otherwise, it will spring back into its original shape. So heat it up until it's malleable. The tang comes about halfway, so beware. You don't want that popping out the back. But bend it gently and let it cool in your hands with leather gloves or some sort of glove, and then you'll have it in that sort of shape. Now, the reason you want it in that shape is so that when you have it in reverse grip, the point is presented at such an angle that when you use a simple hammer fist strike forward, the point is presented where it needs to be, as opposed to hooking and pointing downward and kind of hitting your opponent or whatever the threat with that back curved portion of the blade. So you angle the handle. You don't necessarily have to do that, but I think it makes it more, you can use it in more ways. So you can bend that handle. And then here I've wrapped it in two different kinds of cord. First, a 225 cord. Sorry. I had to do the math. 550 and a half. I know. That's 225 cord wrapped around. And then over that is some jute cord, which I love. I also love the texture, but I like the way it looks. Put a little bit of shellac on it, you know, golden shellac, and then light it on fire. and it gives you a great texture, and it dulls down and, you know, gives you a great look, great texture. It also, pulls all of the spare fibers that come off the jute cord and turn it into a single handle without all the frayed stuff. So it's very, very super light. And then you can make a sheath. I made mine out of Kydex, but you can use, I've seen videos where people use a simple, water bottle and cut out some of the plastic and then use a lighter to heat it to wrap around the, I mean, that's real. I like that. That's like survival level, knife making. Oh, by the way, cut a little notch here for the forefinger. So when it's in your hand, it's a way to index it and know exactly what you're dealing with. And then here I made a sheath, that easily pops off with that little hook. You can just drop it in the pocket. And as you draw it from the pocket, this hooks on the inside of the pocket and you come out with the knife in hand. Here I have Velcro because this actually lives in my car. Got some schmutz there. Lives in my car, and this can stick easily to the fuzzy side of my seat. I also have a piece of Velcro inside the center console that I can stick this to. And every once in a while, you know, I live near DC, and every once in a while, if I have to drive down there, I'll just kind of have this. I make sure I have my phone in my pocket in case I get torn out of my car, you know, phone and wallet in my pocket. And then I have this on the seat just in case, I don't know, someone reaches in. And I have a hammer in the door. I can trap their hand with the claw of the hammer. And if I need to use this, of course, that's all just, planning, hoping for the, what do they say? Hoping for the best, planning for the worst. But here it is. This is the one that's basically started it all for me. I will have you know, if you're looking to buy a Victorinox fruit knife like this, they do come in two different sizes. This is the smaller size. I prefer the smaller size. I have a larger one that I've given away, or had a larger one that I gave away. I think I would always go for the smaller one just because it's thinner, more discreet. And that's oftentimes why you want one of these. Like that handle would print through the pocket because I've wrapped it and made it thicker, but this isn't really intended for that pocket carry. All right. So building on that pedigree, basically, Copus Designs, teamed up with Ed Calderon to make a more, purpose-driven version of the fruit knife, and that purpose is self-defense. So this is my Copus Designs Elvia. I have to be careful drawing it out. A great sheath here. You can see the hook. That's what inspired the hook on my sheath before I had this. This one I have the Ulti clip on, and here it is. 154 cm, very thin blade steel, and an injection molded handle. I had Josh Mason of Bright for War Knives wrap mine with purple ray skin and Sukamaki wrap. So you can see those alternating peaks and valleys make for an outstanding grip. This is a great knife, especially with that grip. But again, with that grip, it's a lot less, drop in the pocket just to hide and stash. But this one I wear in the waistband, it works out fine. So here's one of the ones on loan to me from Jock's Knife. I'm about to send over. This is another Copus Designs, Elvia, but this one has the cutout on the back. And I gotta say, it's the very same knife. I thought it was thinner and all this. It's the exact same knife, just with a scoop taken out there. And both are cool, but I gotta say, this is just looks wicked. It looks wicked. It does look like a talon or a beak of a raptor or something. It's just got a real wicked look with that divot cut out in the back. But it makes for a great thumb swale when using this in utility tasks, which is definitely what you're going to be using this for most, but not just utility tasks. If you're using this in a defensive slashing, motion, it really does give you a great place, for thumb purchase there. These are exclusives at Knives Ship Free. Sometimes you see the ads here. You saw one here before. Not sure if they're in stock currently. Last week they were. So you can go check those out. A great, great Pakal option. They're wickedly sharp. And as you can see, they don't have very, they have very thin stock. So, the bevel, the edge bevel is very thin. And then the relief cutting edge is even thinner. So great for its intended purpose. You say, what's the intended purpose? Why the tip down and the edge in? It's because it takes advantage of your caveman motions, the things you're going to do in a real pinch when you're flooded with adrenaline and just trying to stop someone from doing you in. And it takes advantage, that tip down and that curved edge in takes advantage of the arcing motions of your wrist, your elbow, your shoulder, when you're doing that kind of hammer fist motion. And of course, there's Libra fighting where they've codified all of this and turned it into an excellent defensive system. It's not just, hey man, but a lot of it is. And, because that's what you go back to apparently when you're in that state. Thank God I haven't been in that state. This is a wood desk and, I'd like to remain that way. But if so, it's nice to have something in your hand like this, which isn't going to fail and, is going to take advantage of what your body is doing, what you're making your body do, but also what your body's doing. All right. Next up from Tikal Knives is the MR1. This one is a variation on the Night Stalker. The Night Stalker is the most popular knife of all time from Tikal Knives. And this is basically the same knife, just sharpened on the reverse side. So very, very same knife. If you hold them up next to each other, they're identical. It's just instead of the bevel here, the bevel is there. And this was a request from a Marine unit. I guess it's Marine Raiders 1 in San Diego. They wanted something small with a ring that would work great in very close in environments. This apparently I've heard this a lot, not only from just people randomly on the internet, but also from acquaintances and friends who know people who in clearing houses and rooms can get bogged down and very close in, and they need their knives. And so something like this that you can index and access with that finger ring and pull out and know it's in your hand. And this also works. This ring is adequate for, you know, gloves, works with gloves, and you'll have this gripped in your hand, and the way that your body is going to naturally pull will take advantage of this backward facing edge. Cool thing about these Tikal knives is you can see the striations on the edge of this one, on the edge bevel of this one, and the nickel boron coating, which is a material used in guns to make metal slick, coated on these, does make it slick to the touch. Not oily, not like you pull it off and you can feel it on your fingers, but it gives it a glide. And I think that's perfect for a knife like this. You want it to glide through whatever you're going through. The ring in this case, again, like the Dirk Pinkerton ring, you can have a full, perfect natural fist, a full natural fist with that ring. And it really, really aids in drawing it quickly. And in my case, I have it forward on the front near the belt buckle, scout style. And the width of that sheath and the way he makes those sheaths really is perfect. It hides. It doesn't hide, but it fits the contour of the belt perfectly. So you don't have anything running over top or bottom if you have an inch and a half belt, and it's good to go. So that's the MR1 from Tikal Knives. Now, speaking of Dirk Pinkerton, here are my Dirk Pinkerton Pakal knives. Well, one of them is a fixed blade, and I'll show you that in a minute. But here are the Inversions. Now, the Inversion is a knife that first came out through Kaiser. And here it is. The Kaiser Inversion came with two different thumb studs, one that was more of a flat thumb plate or thumb disc. And then this one which cants up and over the sides of the blade and allows you to wave it out. It's an odd looking knife. I remember when I first saw it, I was like, wait, the handle, the knife's in, the blade's in backwards. And if you flipped it around, it would look totally natural and it would look like a Dirk Pinkerton knife. The handle looks like it's backwards. That's because it's meant to be. It's meant to be used like this, with the tip down and the edge in. And you have the clip. You can swap it either side. So when you draw it and it waves out, drops right into position, right into your hand. So let me do that again. So you're looking down at your pocket, your right pocket, and the pocket clip's coming out. You draw it. It waves open. Lands right in your hand for Pikal usage. So, something I like about this S35VN, reverse tanto, reverse curved tanto, reverse. Okay. Whatever. You know what it is? It's a recurve lamb's foot. If we're going to be a dork about it. And then the terraced, frame lock, titanium frame lock. It's really kind of a dressy knife. But with that texturing, that terracing, it really stays in hand well. And with that tip down edge in Pikal style blade, it's ready for action. It's definitely a James Bond knife. That tip and that peak there was something that he changed when Dirk decided to make the inversion under his own shingle. Kaiser discontinued the inversion. But Dirk didn't. And so he continued onward. And this was a prototype, for where he landed. And I'm one of the lucky ones who got this. I know, Dave got one. I know Fieldworks got one. And a number of other folks. I think, Tomas got one, but just really cool. Forest green G10 contour, not contoured, but heavily chamfered. With a liner lock, a thin liner lock on this, but you have that same flipper action, and then you have the waveable tab here on the back of the blade, so that when you draw this thing out, it's in your grip, all ready for action, and you can defend yourself with it. But you'll notice how the blade has changed through my own input, and then the input of the others I just mentioned, and others. And some like, maybe even your input, because I think he did, some Instagram polls and stuff, changing the blade shape to that more talon-like shape, that more bird's beak shape, softening out this peak and that ridge and making it, a more gently curved sort of recurved Warncliffe now. And, yeah, it goes into material much better. People like Fieldworks, have tested it out. I have not, but going into medium like that really makes a difference. Having that smooth and a little bit thinner blade stock and that lack of that peak there goes into material better. So it's a better stabber, we're going to say. And then this is the final product. And this titanium S35VN version is, it is amazing. And a number of us got this. He put out a pre-order and I jumped on it and was very happy to, when it came out, you know, this is one of those things where I did the pre-order and then I kind of forgot about it. And then suddenly they're ready. And I was like, oh yeah, that's right. And that was cool. Haven't always been able to do that. I like the deep carry pocket clip. And this one also came with a black blade. So folding Pikal, I think it's a great idea. Not only for the size and the discretion of it, but when you're using it in its intended way, when you're doing this in its intended way, using it this way, all of the pressure is going against the stop pin. And that's how it should be. But you would think in something that takes so much, physical force as this kind of motion, you'd want to make sure that it's going against the stop pin. So, though it's a weird looking design and it takes your eyes a minute to get used to, it is a, one of the safer kind of tactical ways to have a fixed blade. To have a folding blade. All right. Next up is from Turner CNC. This is the other one on loan from Jock. and this is headed out now. Not now, obviously. Turner CNC Elvia V2. This is a bigger one than the first one I showed off, also jocks. And it comes in this incredible ambidextrous sheath. You can resheath this thing either way. It looks like a dagger sheath. But look at what goes in there. With this nasty, gnarly, beautiful knife. This is Magna Cut, and it, as is evidenced by that M below the Turner CNC logo, there's that M. Just a beautiful, beautiful blade. Root knife style blade. You got the finger divot. You've got the curve, tip down, edge in, tip angled outward a little bit. Beautifully, what is that called? That G10 is really nice. What's that patterning called? Not knurling. It looks like the deck of a ship or something. And then you've got two big screws that unscrew with pennies, perfectly fit to pennies. And then in there, there's a small space where you could put something if you wanted. But I just love the finish of it. It's so incredibly sharp. And I'm glad to have this one in-house just to check out. I mean, I'm looking at this thing, and it is substantially larger from the last Turner CNC Elvia, also a collaboration with Ed Calderon. But this one, whew, I would hate to see someone wielding this. But let's take a quick look at that finish. That Magna Cut heat treat finish is just so cool. All right. So that's the Elvia, and the sheath here has a Tracker Dan clip. Tracker Dan. Been trying to get him on the show for a long time. He's like, yeah, I'd love to. And then next up is the Draug from Rib Splitter. We were just talking with Rib Splitter. He was just on the show. I love this knife. And he's every Sunday, he's dropping really sweet, Pakal style knives, but other knives too. He's got some nice fighters, some utilities. He just did his first, what was it? Some sort of, Nordic utility style knife, not a Puko. Can't remember what it was, but this is just, all Pakal all day long. I mean, you look at it, it looks like an S almost or a lightning bolt. Very nicely contoured handle. It gives you a great place to put your thumb on top, which is hugely important. Since this is a sort of percussive downward strike, you could easily slip onto the blade if you don't have a good traction plan or a way to cap the thumb. And this, of course, also stops you from coming down, but your palm could really engage if you didn't have a way to stop. So really excellent ergonomics. And then he does this corrosive effect on the steel, which I think is pretty cool looking. I think it's 52-100 Rib Splitter knives. You should check them out if you're interested in Pakal knives and want to get into customs, because he makes them. They're really excellent and they're reasonable. They are a great way to get into custom fixed blade knives, definitely. And you can support a cool dude. All right. Next up, speaking of cool dudes, JB Knife and Tool. This is the Ditch Pick. This is the double-edged Ditch Pick. So if it's double-edged, is it Pakal? Well, I say yes. I say it's a double-edged Pakal. Ancient alien theorists say yes. All right. If you're a dork, you know what that means. So very, very thin, 1/16 inch steel, flexible. That's 1095. The way they temper and heat treat this steel, it is very flexible. They test it for that, but they also test it for so that's toughness, but they also test it for edge holding and piercing. So though it is very thin, it is a really effective knife for this kind of call style. When they released this one, I think this was the first time they offered a forward edge. I could be wrong about that, but I opted for that. They also offer a half forward edge, which though is a little less edge than I would prefer. It looks cool. And if you're someone like me who's shallow and really only care about superficial things, a knife looking cool is says a lot. But I had to go full edge. I'm like, why would I have half of the edge? You know, there might be that situation where I'm like, oh, If only I had sharpened had the whole edge sharpened. Of course, that's all just story making in my mind. But to be real, this is an excellent self-defense tool and fits great for me up front in on a tilt like this in appendix, in the waistband appendix. Now, this sheath or this blade is so sharp that I once was resheathing it really fast and actually stabbed through the kydex. So I put another little piece of kydex and melted it on the end there. It looks like one of those muscles. It looks like the muscle on a scallop. Me actually. All right, got the discrete carry concepts clip on there and really excellent peel ply handle on the textured handle. Next up from Bastinelli, this is a custom anomaly, tip down anomaly. A four knife collection from Doug Markheide and Bastian of Bastinelli Knives. And they all had the same handle, this ringed handle, but they had four different blade styles. And this one, that Pakal style, obviously was calling to me. So I got this and I ordered it from Bastinelli so I could get the cord wrap. He does a great cord wrap and I love the maroon. He had featured this, right before I ordered it from him. This might be the one he featured in his videos. I'm not sure. But I loved that maroon cord wrap. So I went for it and it feels great in hand. Another excellently placed ring. This one, has a little bit more, angle for this kind of manipulation kind of stuff that I'm not going to try and do under the camera, but where you're flipping it around and here, that's what I mean. Stopping it and extending the knife and doing slashes like this, which I don't know. I can't say I recommend. I guess if you're really good and you know you're only going to hit the tip and you got some soft fleshy target, maybe. But there's a difference between self-preservation and self-perfection. And a lot of the techniques that you'll see people practice with ringed knives, those are self-perfection techniques. Those are techniques that work on your attributes, your speed, your timing, your distance, that kind of thing. But that's not what you're going to do in an actual fight. So like when you see Tomas, he's amazing. Tomas Alasa of Tactical Tagger. He's amazing with the flipping of the karambits and stuff. But I know that if he ever needed to use that karambit defensively, he wouldn't be doing all that stuff. So don't confuse those things and don't come down on people when they get all fancy. Say, oh, you wouldn't do that. And it's like, that's not the point. Anyway, I don't know why I went off on that, but I do know that, Bastian is always showing off, these things in use in his shop. And he's a very good knife fighter, martial artist type. And he'll take this and in that grip like this, swipe it against, a piece of webbing this wide or a giant rope and hack it with these. So very sharp, manufactured by Fox Knives. Though this one, he does make ones himself custom, but this one is manufactured by Fox. Very cool knife. If you're interested in that series, there's a spade-shaped blade, there's a karambit, and then there's a fourth one. I don't remember what that is. All right, second to last here in this list, this is another question. If it's double-edged, is it a Pakal? And I say yes. And that is the Pinkerton Cave Bear. This is a custom handmade Pinkerton knife. You know Dirk Pinkerton, he's got a huge catalog of knives that he has designed and had made by very respected manufacturers and companies, most of those being folders, most of them. But he also makes custom blades. And here is, and by the way, he's a master grinder. I mean, his grinding is amazing. His handmade knives are incredible. I have four of them. This one I saw across a crowded room at Blade Show 2021. And man, I was just racing to get there. I thought someone else would grab it. That menacing double-edged Pakal style blade. You could also look at this and say it looks kind of Persian or Middle Eastern. But that double-edged Pakal style blade in that black coating, so beautiful. That's a Nitro V. And his really cool logo in there, his really cool maker's mark. But all of that contrasted against this happy yellow and red micarta. Something about this knife is so attractive to me. It is that contrast, the menace and the almost Ronald McDonald handle, or the beautiful sunset handle if I oil it. You know, it's just got a real interesting look. But in hand, oh my gosh. I mean, this knife, that's about a 4.25-inch blade, wickedly sharp. This is a knife that if you ever had to rely on a knife for survival, fighting a bobcat or a lion, I don't know, something, this would be great because it fits in your hand so well. And you cap the thumb there and the blade is just nasty. Cave bear, I guess that's why he calls it the cave bear. It's like a giant claw, but you can get them coming and going. I'd like to get another one. I don't know why, but I'd like to get another one. Maybe with serrations on one side. I've been seeing, like the, Station 9 knives have serrations on the back, straight edge on the front. I love it. And by the way, though this is a Pakal, you could definitely, there's jimping there. You could definitely use it in a forward grip like this, to great effect. You could even use it in a forward grip like this and have sort of a Genunting, but weird, presentation of the tip. All right. Lastly, from Emerson, the Emerson Elvia, another collaboration. This is the third on this table with Ed Calderon. And he used to carry an Emerson Persian, a great knife. I've always wanted a Persian. It's a waveless design. As you can imagine, a Persian blade, beautiful handle. And so at one point, he approached Ernest Emerson to make a folding Pakal, and this is what they came up with. And I love it. They've made a small version, which is apparently very small, and a larger version. This one to me is perfect. This is the original. Always kind of wondered why they didn't put the wave on there. It just doesn't make sense to me. I got this from Daniel Leuve. I'm not sure how to pronounce his name, but he was rest in peace. He was an artist on Instagram who was getting into knives, and his artwork was absolutely beautiful. And he was getting into knives and was making different accoutrements for them when he passed away recently. And this was one of them, that copper Elvia wave, which really makes this knife, really pushes it over the finish line, as well as these vantage point blade works, contoured linen micarta scales in maroon, my favorite color. It's an Emerson. It's got that beefy titanium, liner lock. It's going nowhere. This would be an excellent knife for its intended purpose. But heaven forbid any one of us here who carries a Pakal ever needs to use one for its intended purpose. Heaven forbid. All right. Well, thanks for joining me on this, tip down edge in journey. It's been a pleasure. And, I know Jim has loved it too. So thanks for joining us. Be sure to join us tomorrow night for Thursday Night Knives. And coming up on Sunday, it's episode 500 of the Knife Junkie podcast. We are excited to present that to you. If you want to help support the show, you can go to Patreon, knifejunkie.com/Patreon. All right. For Jim working his magic behind the switcher, I'm Bob DeMarco saying until next time, don't take dull for an answer.
Thanks for listening to the Knife Junkie Podcast. If you enjoyed the show, please rate and review at reviewthepodcast.com. For show notes for today's episode, additional resources, and to listen to past episodes, visit our website, theknifejunkie.com. You can also watch our latest videos on YouTube at theknifejunkie.com/YouTube. Check out some great knife photos on theknifejunkie.com/Instagram and join our Facebook group at theknifejunkie.com/Facebook. And if you have a question or comment, email them to bob@theknifejunkie.com or call our 24/7 listener line at 724-466-4487. And you may hear your comment or question answered on an upcoming episode of the Knife Junkie Podcast.